Pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for every good and perfect gift. We thank you for providing for us. We thank you for promising to be with us. We thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you that we can gather and worship. And we thank you that we don't even know what worship does for us. We just know you're doing something in us through it. We thank you that we get to be your kids. So we pray now that you would bless this time of worship. You would be blessed by it, Lord. And your Holy Spirit would lead us into the life and the inheritance that you have given us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. So let's start off with a prayer for confession. If you would all stand with me as we turn to page D. And we just start off recognizing that we are forgiven and believing and receiving that forgiveness with faith. So let's pray together our prayer of confession. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated for a second. I'm going to read Psalm 125. Just listen to it. Allow the words of God to fill your mind and your heart. Psalm 125. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abides forever. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people from this time forth and forevermore. For the scepter of wickedness shall not rest on the land allotted to the righteous, lest the righteous stretch out their hands to do wrong. Do good, O Lord, to those who are good and to those who are upright in their hearts. But those who turn aside to their crooked ways, the Lord will lead away with evildoers. Peace be upon Israel. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
All right. You may be seated. Our first reading for today is found in Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 6 through 9, is on page 87, if you're following along in our Bibles. So Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 6 through 9. For you are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for his treasured possession. Out of all the peoples who are on the face of the earth, it was not because you were more in number than any other people that the Lord set his love on you and chose you, for you were the fewest of all peoples. But it was because the Lord loves you and is keeping the oath that he swore to your fathers, that the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of slavery, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord your God is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. This is the reading of God's word. Thanks be to God.
That's a great passage. God says, I didn't choose you because you're great or you've done anything. I chose you because I chose you. I put love on you, even though you weren't great. We'll have to remember that as we go today. Let's go to Romans chapter 8. We're finishing the great chapter 8 of the book of Romans, starting on verse 28. So 8:28. It's found on page 550 if you're using one of our Bibles, or if you're following along, this is a famous passage that you might want to, if you're ever going to memorize a verse, there's some verses in this section that would be worth it to put in your brain. If you're into that sort of thing, no pressure. But these are great verses, so they're good to know where they're at. Romans 8, verse 28. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all? How will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword, or pandemic, or politics? What can separate you? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. That's how we're regarded. But no, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. It's the reading of God's word.
Thanks be to God.
So that's a lot in there. And we're in this season of what's called Pentecost. So remember, this is the giving of the Holy Spirit, the season where we continue to open up the gifts of the Holy Spirit, that it was a big deal that Christ poured out his Holy Spirit upon us so that we aren't orphans. So we're opening up all these gifts of being part of the family, of being made alive in the Spirit, not living according to the flesh, and the new creation, which is all of ours. And so in the end of chapter 8, he's been, since chapter 5, really going round and round on what it means to be justified, to be announced you're right in the eyes of God. So think about that. When we say you're justified, it means you're right. And just think about the world we live in, who's right and who's wrong. And so Paul said, you are right. How do you know I'm right? Someone could write, you're right, because God has made you right. And there's no one greater than God. And so as we go through justification, you're right, God is right, you get his rightness, that's all righteousness means. He comes to this conclusion, which is, how great is the love of God? So the idea for today, what we're unpacking, is the reality that God's love conquers all. God's love is the beginning and the end of all things. His love is the thing that sustains you. It's his love that we get to open now and forever. But it's interesting with God's love, as we read these verses, I mean, we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. And it goes on and on. How do these verses make you feel? Do you feel great about it? You might have to do this. You have to over-exaggerate with your masks on. I need to know. Do you feel good about it? Good. So I could just read that and you'd be encouraged, right? Good. Maybe we'll just do that. Because what I find in myself as I read these passages, there's something in me that is a little bit broken. Because after I read all this, it's like, what shall we say? If God is for us, who can be against us? You were called and you were known and he loves you. And I'm like, okay, that's amazing. So what do I do now? Tell me what to do. That's my instinct. As I'm preparing to tell you, so I got to tell him. What does this mean? I got to tell him what to do. And what I realize as we read these amazing passages where Paul's super excited and he's announcing God's love to you, we are so steeped, and I mean like steeped in the law, that when I hear good news like this, I'm trying to figure out, so what do I need to do? So what does it mean? Like, so just tell me, what does that mean to me, Adam? That's how I feel. And so I imagine you all feel the same way. So what does this mean? And when we ask ourselves that question, like, so what do I do? Here's the trick. As soon as you ask, you read a passage like this and you go, what do? The problem is with you. When I look at a passage like this and I go, so what do I do, Lord? That means I have a problem. I would prefer to have Moses talk to me and tell me laws than I would have Jesus Christ say, I give this to you. That's what it shows about your heart. Isn't that amazing? It shows that you want law. But why are there so many Christian books that do that? Because they sell. Because you want law. It's hard to hear about God's love and just go, okay. It's really hard. It's hard to hear about God's love and say, repent. And when I say repent, I don't mean just say, I'm sorry for the things I've done. I mean, repent because you realize the world is such a mess that you're like, oh, God, help. Repentance opens up the gospel because the gospel is the gift. It's a donation to those who are like, oh, God, help. And yet all we want to do is go like, so what do I need to do to access this, all things work for good? So we have to kill our idol of self-reliance. We have to kill this part of us that's like, what do I do? How do I access this? Kill that. Jesus Christ gives it. That's why Paul is so excited. That's what this all comes to. It all comes to a head. He gives his love. That's why in Deuteronomy, in the book that means the second giving of the law, God himself is saying in the book of the law, you know, I chose y'all not because you're strong, smart, powerful, well-behaved. Actually, you were the least of all those. I just chose you because I chose to love you and then make you into a people. Don't you love that in the middle of Deuteronomy? Where we just imagine God's so mean in the Old Testament and he's nice. No, you're wrong. You don't know the book. None of us do, because we just spend our whole life reading the book going, what do I have to do? We can never actually receive the story. That's how steeped we are. And Paul says, you're free. Jesus is not the lawgiver. He's the grace giver. And it all comes to this. We know that all who love God, listen to this. This is one of the, I would say, most misquoted verses in the Bible. You can flip through TV and turn on like Jerry Springer. I know Joe's been there. Or some crazy afternoon show. He actually did go. That's a reference to a real story. And you can just turn on popular culture and you'll hear people in a messed up situation going, but all things work together. You just hear that. That's kind of like John 3:16, God so loved the world. Now it's like all things work together for good. But you know, the verse has these two parts, one in front and one behind, where it says, those who, and it's in context, who have the Holy Spirit, the heart and mind of God has been given to you because you've been baptized into Christ, you've been washed and cleansed, and now you've been reborn. It's those who love God, he's working for good according to his purpose. We always like to say this verse and think God's going to work all things for good according to my purpose. What do I want? And it's usually we quote this verse when we're not getting what we want and we're like, God's going to work it for good. And the truth is, he is. He is going to work it for good, whether you are with him or against him. He's so loving, and he's given us the Spirit of God. That's why the Spirit of God intercedes for you. So when I say, God, give me more money, the Holy Spirit goes to God and says, Lord, humble him more. He'll love it. And so what do I get when I pray for more money? I get humbled. I'm like, oh, but I get to rest because the Holy Spirit's interceding, asking me for what I actually need. Like the child who says, just give me some more. Just give me some more screen time before bed. Give me some more ice cream. And the parent's like, no, I love you. And the kid goes to bed screaming and crying. and you go to bed wondering if you've been a good parent or not. Right? God hears your prayers. He intercedes for you. But it's His purpose. Think about purpose. The world has a purpose for you. Every place, every commercial, everything has a purpose for you. Do you ever think about that? We're in the shadow of Disney. I'm not against Disney. Love Disney. Work for Disney. Disney's great, but what's Disney's purpose for your life? Ha ha, pass the cheese, please. Right. Disney's, as an old, I used to have a Mickey Mouse doll, and it said that. You'd pull it, and it'd go, ha, pass the cheese, please. But what's their purpose? Their purpose is very singular. It's to entertain you, but it's also to make money, to separate you from money, give you an experience. Not bad, but let's be honest. That's the purpose. Is Disney thinking about you and the purpose for your life? A little bit. We're thinking about how to get you to come here and to spend money, and we're thinking about how you can have a good time, but reasonably. So, like, what can we do that hits the most people? We can't just do it for you unless you have a lot of money. But this is how the world works. This is how commercials work. There's a very limited purpose that they're putting on you, and we're okay with that. Okay. What about at work? Does someone have purpose for you? We like to imagine and we hope that we have bosses that have a purpose for you and they're going to guide you into the best possible scenario, maybe into future leadership, and their purpose for you is to be successful because then the company's successful. Does it always work? No. How often do you even believe the person who's supposed to give you purpose is doing that? My point is, God has a purpose for us. And He's doing all good according to that purpose. And He's strong enough to do it. He's loving enough to do it. He's all in to do it. And it's not just for your money. It's not just for an experience. It's forever and ever and ever. And it's according to His purpose. So God has purposed to work in your life, to work in you before you even knew it, to the point of justification, saving you, all the way to the end where it's glorification, where you are resurrected forever and ever. He's committed to working with you, and He's powerful enough to do it. It's not just for one thing here, one sacrifice there, be a good person, show a little love. He's not doing it like the rest of the world does it. So His love is going to conquer all the obstacles that we face. His purpose is to save you, to love you, and to be bound to you. See, like love, His love, it doesn't separate. It binds you to Himself forever and ever. Let me just go to this powerful part where He says, He's thinking about you from the beginning, just like little baby Mabel. We'll use baby Mabel for a lot of examples while we can. A lot of forethought, a lot of effort, and now the baby's here, and the work has just begun. And so God is conforming you to the image of His Son. And that's why I say, it's very important for you to realize this, that our faith is not just faith that we're going to go and be in heaven one day. It's faith that God is working in you right now. That takes a lot of faith to believe, because all you can see is your failure. All you can see is what you're lacking. Or you're self-righteous, and all you can see is how everybody else is lacking, and you're angry. It takes faith to believe that God's working on you and leading you, and He's working on others. He's the one who calls you. He's the one who works with you. He will bring you all the way through. And then, because He's all-powerful, He justifies you. You receive His passive righteousness, because you know what our biggest problem is? Do you know what God saves you from? What?
Himself. God's wrath.
Whoa, good and good. Good and better. Better and good. Yes, it goes all in those places, but she's right. This is what we don't want to say. This is what's offensive to the world. is that God saves us from his wrath. He's angry, and he has a right to be. That's where it gets us. But God's all loving. He shouldn't be mad at me. I'm not as bad as them. How could he be mad? I thought he's a good guy. Yeah, because you have sinned against him, against his kids. You have rebelled and raged. And so there needs to be a little fear of God. That's, you won't hear that. It's not popular to say right now because we just want to say, show mercy and be loving. And the world will take that from us. Matthew's hope has been going on. He's been struggling and fighting for it. The world doesn't care that he's helping homeless. They kind of care, but they don't. They say they will. That's what we want from Christians. But you know what the reality is? Christians say you need to bow to Jesus. God is mad at you because he loves you. Just like I'm mad at my children because I love them when they do something wrong. And so God saves us from his anger by giving us his only son and justifies you. He says, you can live now because I have lifted my wrath by giving you my son. And what did you do? You said, well, if Jesus is giving this, I want it. I need it. That's what you did. That's faith. It's absurd. It's crazy. Because again, we want to go, what do? How do I know I'm really good at it? You just trust it. And you won't be ashamed for trusting in Jesus. He's all powerful enough to lift his wrath off of you because he's just. He's not looking the other way and saying, well, your sins don't matter. He's actually just. And that's why he kills his son. Because your sins were real. And they demanded being paid for. And God is not looking the other way like some Santa Claus. He's a good judge. We want good judges who actually punish wrong. And we needed to be punished. And that's why Christ came. And so his love conquered the wrath of God. But then it says, what then shall we say? If God is for us, who can be against us? And his love is going to give us all things. Who can be against us? He did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us. How will he not also with him graciously give us all things? He's all powerful and he's all loving. He's giving life to us. And I like this because who shall bring charge against God's elect? People will bring charges against you. But if God is for you, who can be against you? He's the final judge. And he says, it is God who justifies. So no one can charge you before God. You are justified by the works of Christ. The works of Christ have been applied to you. Be assured this is true. You are safe by simply trusting in Christ. No one can bring a charge against you. Who can condemn you? He says, who is to condemn you? Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. I'll tell you one person who condemns you. You condemn you. It's those moments where you condemn yourself and you have these thoughts of like, why didn't I do that right? I missed that meeting. I should have been there. I could have done better. I messed up my kids. I messed up my wife. I messed up this. Those thoughts condemn you. And that's why he says, who is to condemn you? Not even yourself. Because Jesus Christ is the one who died and was raised. He did it perfect. That perfection you think you need to make you happy, Christ did it. You cannot. And even when you think you do it perfect, it doesn't bring happiness. I love that Christ is interceding for us. This is the all-loving part. This is love. Takes the justice, takes the wrath of God, but then he's interceding for you now. And always. You know who that's opposite of? Satan, who's always accusing. The world that's always accusing. The world always says, prove yourself. Prove that you're a good person. Prove it. You're a Christian? Prove it. You're a good dad? Prove it. You're something? Prove it. That's the world. But the word of God says, I give you my son. He's proved it. You are mine. You are good. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And the word became flesh and dwelt among you. The word is Jesus Christ. So there is no accusation. So when it comes, save yourself if you're so powerful. Pray for yourself. We do the same thing as Christ now. We live by the word of God. I don't need to defend myself. His word does. And when I am condemned, the flesh, I have the Spirit of God who applies the work of Christ to me and says, no one can condemn you. You have the work of Christ. And I'm interceding for you, praying for you, working on you, whether you know it or not. That's why we live by faith. We try to always, we use metrics in every area of our life. We try to use it emotionally, like, I'm doing better than I was doing last year this time. But they'll always crush you, and you'll always be worried about, am I falling away from God? Is my relationship growing? Is it this? And Paul is saying, God's love is the beginning, the middle, and the end. Trust him. Go to him. Abba, Father, are you working on me? Oh, yeah, I'm working on you. How do I know? Because you called out to me. And that's what my kids do. Dada. He says, and by the way, nothing shall separate you. Not even death. You know, when you die, people think death is like sweet release. It's not. Death is complete and utter bondage. You're separated from your body. God made you this way. Death is the final separation. It's awful. It doesn't release you. What releases you is resurrection in Jesus Christ. So we're not looking just to die. We're looking to raise up. And so that's why he says nothing will separate you. God's love is all-powerful, all-loving, and it binds you to himself. He's like, nothing can separate you. And this is a guy who has been beaten up, humiliated, accused. Like, it's not going well for the Apostle Paul by the world's standards. It's going poorly. Yet he's saying, even when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, even when we walk through suffering, Christ is with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Nothing can separate you, not even death itself. That Christ has victory and he conquers life and death so that nothing will separate you from the love of God. Who can say that to you? Who can say any of this to you? I just try to say it to my kids and it's true enough, but it breaks down because it's not the good news of Jesus Christ. So I'm like, I love my kids. I'm going to be there for them. I'll never be separated from you, except sometimes I'm at work and I'm away from you and something bad could happen to either one of us. Except I can't control everything. I don't have all the power, but that's in me. I want to. And Paul's saying, yeah, you want to because you're in the image of God, but God does and he can and he will never leave you nor forsake you. Nothing can separate you. Not pandemic, not politics, not a person being mean to you, not anything will ever separate you. And so we stop becoming the people who just are hoping for everything to be comfortable. And that's why we have our God. Like, God, make it good, which is a good prayer request. We want to make it good. We're not crazy. But the promise of our God is not to make it all good here. The promise of our God is I will walk with you all the time. And I am the only source of peace. I give peace. I give love. I give joy. I give faithfulness. I give kindness. I give self-control. I give goodness, patience. I give that. No one else gives it. I'm the creator of it, and I give it to you. You walk into it with me, whether you're rich or whether you're poor, whether you're healthy or whether you're sore. Just thought I'd rhyme it. We are more than conquerors in all things because Christ's purpose will not be thwarted. No one can stop God's purpose in you. He cares about you. He's given his son for you. He's walking with you now, and he's never going to leave you or forsake you. This is the gospel. And then whatever comes out of it, praise God. He will conform us to be the people who love and serve. But we don't start there. We start here. Praising God for his son, Jesus Christ, who's been given to us. So this is the kind of love that conquers all, and what God wants for us is to be assured of it. Daily engage it. Be assured. Let it assure you. It's not on how much you believe. It's on how much Christ has done, and you just go, I believe it, Lord. Help me to believe it. And he will. And as we grow into that, we get to walk with God into the good things. He's working all things for good, and his purpose is to conform you to what you are supposed to be, the image of God. So what then shall we say? If God is for us, who can be against us? Amen?
Amen.
I'm glad you're my brothers and sisters. I'm glad we're in this together. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he give you the peace that passes all understanding as the Holy Spirit applies this word. Holy Spirit, you lead all of us into life. You give us the things we want, and we receive them with joy. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, well, let's stand and confess what we believe. This is our chance to say God is creator, he is redeemer, he is sustainer through the Holy Spirit. We'll do the Apostles' Creed. And the ancient question, a chance for us to confess. We don't just confess our sins, but we confess what we believe. So, Christian, what is it you believe? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again from the dead.
He ascended into heaven
and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there, he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints,
the forgiveness of sins,
the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. So I know this is a time of prayer, so we thank God for baby Mabel, as that's the culmination of many prayers, and it's pretty great. Mm-hmm. So praise God for that. But I know everyone here has prayer requests, and so God has desired that, you know, churches, that gatherings around his word are places where we gather with our request. We give thanks to him. We praise him, and then we pray to him. And so I can do a general, if anyone has a prayer request they want to share, you feel bold right now, you want to share it, we can do that, or I'll generally pray for us. We have a general idea of where everybody's at and what they need, but... Prayer for our country, definitely, for Christians. Anything else? For Mabel. It's a new battlecraft for Mabel. All right. Well, let's pray. Mm-hmm. Father, I thank you for New City Church. I thank you for being here with us, for being the hope of a world, of the world, that we're not the hope of the world, but you are the hope of the world. Your death and resurrection anchor us in that truth. We give you thanks for every good gift. We praise you for Mabel. We praise you for the way you've provided food for us, the way you've provided clothing, the way you've provided shelter and jobs. We look back and we can't even tell how we've gotten this far, but we thank you. And then we praise you that you are the God of all creation. You are the God who holds all things together. You're the God of time and space, the God who saves. We praise you. And then we bring our request to you, Father. We pray with Rob and all of us. We pray for our country, for America and the civil unrest, Lord. We pray that you would bless us during this time, that you would lead. I pray, Lord, that you would lead everyone to repentance and faith. That's the best thing I can ask for a human, is to let go and receive forgiveness. And Lord, you know the intricacies of these issues. You know, I pray that you would, your will would crush the will of Satan in our country, that you would pour forth righteousness and justice, and that you would bring healing, and that you would provide for us the ability to bow to you and love you and love our brothers and our sisters and work for justice and righteousness because we are so deeply loved by you. Lord, have mercy on our country. Have mercy and help us. You be our assurance as we do our best to love and serve our neighbors. Lord, I pray for everyone in this room and at home watching. Guard our hearts. Apply your gospel to us, Lord, that we might continue to learn and grow with you and not be tempted just to keep looking back or stop walking with you, but that we would be anchored in knowing that you have life, that hallowed is your name. You're the place that has life. You're the place we fall back on. You're the place we rely on. And everything else we go into with faith, hoping to do our best and pray for the best. And we pray for health and we pray for finances and we pray for all these things, Lord, that you'd be with your people. But Lord, may you give us the peace that passes all understanding that you are with us. And we give these prayers to you, Lord. We trust that you hear us, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, so let's, I like saying the Lord's Prayer now because it's one of the times where we all together say, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. It's like a praise kind of worshipful thing. I like that. So we're going to do it. Let's say the Lord's Prayer together as we prepare for the Lord's Supper. It's the first page. And this is the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples. Pray it with me, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever.
Amen.
Do you want to do the Lord's Supper today? Welcome back.
Yeah. We'll do the Lord's Supper.
All right.
Also, just remind you that as God continues to provide, that he invites you to trust him in giving and reminds us that he provides everything for us and that all good gifts come from him and that we do not have to worship our own efforts or our own productivity, that God continues to provide for us. And a way we enter into that by faith is to give to him. So you can give here or you can give online. Either way, it is God recognizes it and he loves it.
And knows it's not easy for us. So that struggle, don't diminish that struggle. It's real, because it's not easy. It's faith.
So now we prepare to gather around the table that Jesus Christ bled out for.
Wow.
That Jesus died for. And he's like, he says, I'm so thankful that you are here. That he died for you to be here at this table, to gather you around his home, his word. Say, I just want to have a family meal with you. And I'm willing to die for that. So on the night our Lord Jesus Christ was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way, also, he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me. Lord, we recognize the bread and wine and grape juice is your body and blood through your word. That by your word you change physical things into spiritual. That you meet with us. Lord, thank you for being present with us here. for offering us true forgiveness through your body and blood. I ask that we are strengthened and nourished by it. Thank you, Lord, for giving everything to us, for giving yourself to us. And we receive this in faith, knowing that we are in constant need. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. So, I'm always reading a bunch of great books, but one book I was reading this week was talking about Jesus when he gave his first real sermon. He reads Isaiah about the God who's going to put together the shattered hearted and release the captives but
good news to the poor.
Good news to the poor. But what I read this week was that when he stood up, the tradition was he sang that portion of Scripture. So can you imagine Jesus Christ, the Son of God, on earth? He sang it because that's what they did. I was just thinking as we were singing, like, he's singing this portion of Scripture. And then he says, today it's fulfilled. And he sits down and everyone loses their mind. But just the thought of Jesus singing is cool. Like, we're singing with him. He's singing. So don't let anyone ever take that from you. Keep singing. All right, receive God's blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord shine his face upon you and be gracious to you. May he turn his face towards you, smile at you, and give you peace now and forever. Amen.
Amen.
Go in peace, serve the Lord.